Good morning, honorable members and colleagues.
Morning, Chairperson.
Morning, Chair.
Morning. Masi, fly to the agenda of today's meeting.
Hey, Chair.
No, thank you very much, honorable members and colleagues. Once more, good morning to all of you. I've seen also in our midst that the DG is also here. The legal team is here. Also, our team that works with us is here. And let's start, honorable members. This is the agenda before us. And let me welcome all of you, honorable members, the DG and the team, the legal team of parliament, our colleagues, our support staff. Today, you are welcome to this meeting of today. And like last week, honorable members, we are proceeding with our work of the public hearings. Last week, we were doing the PSA, and today we are doing the PAMA, but you are all welcome and feel free to participate to this meeting and engage to the reports as they are presented. And now, because the meeting already is opened, we move to apologies. I've seen, three apologies. One is the apology of Dr. Gondwe, whom yesterday we have a conversation, and she told me that now she's been moved to be part of this portfolio committee and now gonna serve at the public enterprise, which means there's still Dr. Schreiber with us from the DA. So Dr. Gondwe won't be with us anymore, colleagues and honorable members. And the second apology I saw in the group, Masi, is Honorable Maneli and Honorable Notnagal that will join a meeting around 10 o'clock. So those are the only apologies that we have, honorable members and colleagues. Now we are moving to the next
item. Chair, on apologies.
Yes,
Chair, good morning, Chair, and morning to everyone in the platform. Chair, in terms of Dr. Gondwe leaving this portfolio committee, it is so sad to us. We are multi-party committee, but at the end of the day, we are a family. We'll miss Dr. Gondwe, and we wish her the best in her future endeavors. If you can just pass that, give that message to her to say the committee will really miss you, and we did enjoy working with her. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mtuli, with those sweet words to Dr. Gondwe. Now, colleagues and honorable members, next item, the adoption of the public hearing report on the Public Administration Management Amendment Bill, PAMA. I will then hand over to Mr. Ngwepe or Mr. Biel. I'm handing over to you.
Good morning, Chairperson. I will be the one who will present the report on the public hearings for the Public Administration Management Amendment Bill. Let me try to project it, Chair. Good morning once more, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, the DG of the Department of Public Service Administration, colleagues. I'm presenting the report of the public hearings. As I've indicated, Chair, even last week when we were presenting the report on the Public Service Amendment Bill, that this report, they are not meant for ATC, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, is for the record of the committee, but they have to be adopted. They will only serve if the President wants to get a report on the public hearings, then the committee secretary will be able to produce the adopted report for the purpose of the President before he can sign this into law. So it's just for the committee. Yeah, I won't be reading page by page, Honorable Chair, if you allow me. I will just go through page by page so that we move quickly. Page one, if there's anything members will shout, I believe that this report has been sent, it's been almost 2 weeks now. And page two, and page page four, page five, page six, page seven. We are now on page eight, Honorable Members. Page nine. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. page 13. And page 14, page 15, page 16, Yeah, that's the end, Honorable Chair, the end of the report. I believe there are no corrections based on the silence of the members.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Mope, for the presentation. Honorable members, that is the report of the public hearings on PAMA. There's a lot of pages, and I will take hands that will wish to edit to the report from page 1 to the last page, page 17. And I'm looking for hands, honorable members. I can see one hand of Honorable Nduli.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, once again. Good morning. And greetings to everyone on the platform. Chair, I don't have any amendment to the report, but safe to say, as this portfolio committee, we had ample time with the submissions and the narratives from the parties that were interested in this bill. We had ample time with the department. We interacted with with the department, and also the department responded to the submissions by the parties. For me, Chair, I wanted to adopt this report as a true reflection of and the outcome of what I've alluded to. Thank you so much.
So there's no other hands. That means, honorable members, we all agree with this report as the true reflection of the public hearings. Honorable members, we are then Mr. Mwepe, let's move to the next report on the motion of desirability of the PAMA.
Yeah, thank you again, Chairperson. I'm presenting report on the motion of desirability of the public on the Public Administration Management Amendment Bill. The same approach that I've taken earlier on with the report on the public hearings, I'll just go page by page. Page 1. Page 2, and then page 2, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, is just to establish from the members of the committee whether the Public Administration Management Amendment Bill is desirable or is not desirable. So members will have to indicate if they is desirable. If it's not desirable, then we are not going to discuss the clause by clause. It means that the process will end from this particular motion if members will vote for the bill not desirable. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mwepe. Honorable members, that's the presentation of the motion of desirability. I will take hands that will then be able to tell us whether this bill is desirable or undesirable.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I move that this motion be adopted as the bill is desirable. Chair.
Thank you. There's no other hands. Yes, I've heard you, Honorable Ntuli, and thank you very much. I was looking at the other hands, so there's no other hands, and of which we agree as this committee, and we can then proceed with the next item, Masi and Mr. Mwepe and Viela, clause by clause deliberations.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I will be the one taking you through the clause by clause deliberation. This process is just a culmination of what the committee have already gone through in terms of the advertisement of the, in terms of the receiving of the bill. And the department presented the bill for the first time to the committee, and then we advertised for the public hearings. And then the department, together with the National School of Government and our parliamentary legal services, have responded to what has been raised during the public hearings. Honorable members, allow me not to go through to the purpose of the or the object of the bill, because I believe that you all know the object of the bill. But just to zoom directly to clauses where the bill is, where the members will have to deliberate on those aspects. Chair, with regard to the definition. The department, together with the National School of Government and the Parliament, has responded to what the stakeholders has raised through the public hearings. Chair, allow me not to just read everything, but to get the key critical issues that have been highlighted. If you, the chairperson, if you still remember, during the public hearings, there was a call that the word secondments needs to be defined in the definition, and then both department and the legal service of Parliament have They have responded by saying that it's not necessary for the definition of secondment to be inserted in the bill. Therefore, then we are in sort of I believe that the committee will or the, based on the explanation that both legal gurus have provided, the committee is in agreement that there's no need to define the word secondment. And they've provided better reasons based on their responses. And then the other aspect that they, based on the public hearings that needed to be, that they thought that needed to be thoroughly explained was the issue on the organs of state. And then the department, together with the legal service of parliament, provided clarity with regard to that, Chair, that the definitions of organs of state refers to departments, the public schools and municipalities and public entities and institutions performing constitutional powers or public functions for ease of interpretations. And the definition is therefore correct. As the DP, here it was the Parliamentary Legal Service that the, as the DPSA has confirmed that this is a policy decision to make it clear that the PAMA is applicable to public school employees. Chairperson, we also received additional, I would say, amendment through the National School of Government. They've proposed, I think, a definition on these particular words. I'm not going to read the definition because they are clear, Chair and Honourable Members. The definition on certificate has been added to the bill. And then education and training program as a definition has also been added. And then education laws also been added into the definition of the bill. And qualification or part qualifications also added. Yeah, and then this definition, Chair, is just to express what will be contained in the bill, especially with regard to the section that are addressing the National School of Government. As we go on, we'll find such kind of ways, Honourable Chair. So that's loss one, Chairperson. Is there anything members will then indicate through you, Chair, waiting for your directive from?
Chairman, do this.
That's the first clause, Honourable Members, on the definitions. Can I then take hands if the Honourable Members want to input on the first clause, which is clause one? Honourable Nduli.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair. I stand to adopt clause one with the amendment and the expression from NSG. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Nduli. I think there's only one hand, so which means we can move to clause two, Mr. Mwepe.
Yeah, Chair and Honourable Members, clause two address the individual transfer. Based on what the public hearing submission said, there were issues with regard to the transfer. I think it was just the issue of the practicality and whatever. And then based on the responses that we have received, from the department and the parliamentary legal service. They've indicated that the transfer provision enable transfer between municipalities and between the public and the public and municipalities, meaning this transfer happens within these two. And they further said to allow this just to allow the mobility of people and people with requisite skills to where they may be required without requiring termination of employment or loss of benefits and re-employment elsewhere. So, and then with regards to the other matter that has been emphasized by both the Parliament Legal Service and the department, they further said that the transfer is subject to the consent of employees. Therefore, employees must be willing to transfer. There is no need to require representation where consent is a prerequisite. And the provision ensure that the transfer does not interrupt the employee's continuity of employment and that no employee may suffer any reduction in remuneration and conditions of services and unless employees consent. I think here the department, they were trying to address the issue of the issue of the abuse that one of the submission raised with regard to the transfers. So then they, by emphasizing that the transfer, it will be based on the consent of the employees, the employee will not suffer any reduction in terms of remuneration and conditions of services. And they further said the transfer of an employee is conditional on the employee being suitably qualified. So the transfer won't just happen. The employee has to be suitably qualified before they consider transferring that particular person to another sphere of government. And then lastly, what they've emphasized is that the relevant executive authority must agree to the transfer. So it's not going to be an employee and or the DG, the executive authority has to, as a must, agree to the transfer to minimize anything. And then the other aspect that they've raised is that they may, in Section 5.1 stipulated that there is no obligation or onus on the employee on the employer to transfer an employee. So they may it just emphasize that it is very important that the employer may not just haphazardly transfer an employee. So there are a number of things that will be considered. And then the other thing, Chair and Honourable Members, with regard to the relocation cost, the department has provided that the relocation costs are provided for in a separate existing collective agreements. So where gaps exist, these matters will be addressed through relevant process or regulations. That's all, Honourable Chairperson, with regard to the individual transfer clause 2. So there will be no amendment with regard to clause 2, but the department has just provided the reason for what the stakeholders have raised during the public hearing process.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mduli.
Chairperson, thank you. Chair, I move for the adoption of Clause 2. Hence, there are no amendments, and hence, everything was understandable, particularly after the explanation from the department, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ntuli. because there's no other hands, that means we all agree with the clause two, honourable members, and thank you. The third clause?
With the third clause is the clause on secondment. Okay, based on what the submission has raised, the department has responded on clause two. I believe is this clause two also does not require any amendment, honourable chair and honourable members. The only thing that was inserted on clause two was the weight operationally. The operationally meaning to ensure that secondment is justified in a way that relates to work of the affected department. So the weight operationally, which is inserted, seek to avoid arbitrary secondment. And the department further said it must therefore be noted that it's not necessary to define words that take the normal dictionary meaning, as this will limit its interpretation. I think they were trying to respond to one of the submissions that the word secondment needs to be defined in the definition chapter. And the Parliamentary Legal Service further supported what the department has said, that it's not necessarily, and the two processes are very different. Transfer is permanent, while secondment is temporary. That's it, Honorable Chairperson, with regard to clause three on secondment.
Thank you, Mr. Ngwepe. Honorable members, this is clause three with the secondments. Anything from honorable members on this clause?
Chair Mantuli here. Chair, my hand is up.
Yes, honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of clause three.
Thank you, Honorable Ntuli. Clause three have been agreed to, honorable members, because there's no other hand, and of which it means we all agree.
Okay,
yes, Chair. Honorable Chair, thank you. It's Honorable Kibi here. We agree, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, the next clause is clause four, transfer of functions within institutions. If you can see these two columns, we haven't even received any submissions, Honorable Chair, and no amendment were suggested with regard to clause four.
Honorable members, that's clause four, and there's no amendments.
Chairperson Mantuli, I move for the adoption of clause four.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mantuli. Clause four is agreed to. We're moving now to clause five.
Yeah, the clause five is about conducting business with the state. There were issues with regard to the definition of the word ex officio, and as well as aligning this particular act with the public procurement bill. But I'll just address, let me first address the issue on the ex officio. What has the department responded to with regard to ex officio? They said ex officio relates to an employee who holds office as the director of a public entity, solely as the consequences of that employee's employment in the public administration. And the blanket prohibition on employees not doing business with an organ of state has unintended consequences for employees who are required to perform certain functions that are necessarily for the functioning of the state. Examples were given such as participation in marking metric of the grade 12 papers, and then the training and teaching and lecturing at public educational institutions. So those are the example that were cited with regard to providing ex officio and the certain limitations that the minister might prescribe as not being construed as doing business with the state. So with regards to there is an amendment that was suggested, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, an amendment on clause 8.4, which reads as follows, that the minister may prescribe that certain transaction between an employee and an organ of state, which are remunerative but not for profit, and which are necessarily for the functioning of an organ of state, it will not constitute conducting business with an organ of state for the purposes of this section. So, like the example that I was that was given of the marking of papers of grade 12 learners, the minister might prescribe that those should not be fall within doing the category of conducting business with any organs of with the state, if I may say that. So they've proposed the amendment with regard to that to provide so that the this particular clause 8.4 can be much more clearer. So that's what the department has proposed. And then with regard to section 8.4, that section finalized with reference to the Public Procurement Bill, clause 13 of the current Procurement Bill automatically excludes persons related, including the public office bearers, party leaders, public servants, municipal employees, etc. So what they've said is that beneficial ownership is currently managed through the financial disclosure processes and consequent lifestyle audit to determine whether there is unexplained wealth. So there is other means that the department thought that what the stakeholders has raised during the public hearing processes with regard to conducting business with the state is that the department has other means where officials have to disclose their financial interest through a financial disclosure framework and the conducting of the lifestyle audit to determine whether there's any unexplained wealth. So some of the aspects are covered there. Therefore, this proposal, then they further said this proposal that based that emanates from the public hearings will further require research and policy direction. But the only thing that they've proposed is just to insert this particular clause, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, with regards to clause 8.4. That's the only thing that has been suggested, but I believe everything is clear.
Chair,
thank you, Honorable Duli.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of Clause 4, having explained the issue of a marking of paper, the example of marking papers, that the minister will sort of regulate or prescribe upon such issues, and also having explained the issue of the disclosures upon conducting business with government, and also that this can be also researched further and looked at the policy direction. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dooley. I think because I don't see any hands from honorable members in the platform, and as such, we agree with them clause 5. We can move to clause 6.
Yeah, clause 6, Honorable Chair, it's about the billing of period. And there were no amendments suggested with regard to clause 6. Yeah.
Chair, assist Chair, it's Mantuli, maybe for the record purposes, I think instead of saying I move for the adoption of clause 5, I repeated adopting clause 4 again. I wanted to correct that, Chairperson.
Dooley, can you repeat what you just said?
I think, Chairperson, for record purposes, I made a mistake to repeat adopting the previous clause instead of adopting clause 5, so that clause 5 shouldn't left hanging, not adopted. Thank you, Chairperson. Formally.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dooley. I have also said that we all agree on clause 5. Now that there's no other hands except yours, and then that means we all agreed on the clause 5. Thank you so much. I see the hand of Delana.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, this relates to clause 6. So Parliamentary Legal Services and the State Law Advisor and the DPSA met on Friday, just to go through our various drafting concerns with the bill. And one of the issues that I had raised with regards to clause 6 was that there could be a better, more concise drafting of the section, obviously with keeping the same intention of the section, which the department explained the intention behind the section to legal services. So if the committee will allow, when we do the A-list and do present a version of the A-list with changes, if the committee would allow myself and the State Law Advisor to present a better drafted version of Clause 6 for a more concise reading, obviously with the same intention of Clause 6, then if that could be allowed at the A-list portion when we do present changes to the bill, if the committee could provide us with a resolution for us to change the drafting of Clause 6. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Ms. Delan, with that information. We are now moving to Clause 6.
Yeah, I think, Chair, with regard to Clause 6, our colleague Telan has just indicated that they've met, I think, the three legal gurus on Friday with regard to a rephrasing of this particular clause to be more concise and concise in terms of what the bill seeks to address. So I think it will be another amendment if members agree with what our colleague Delana is proposing to you, Chairperson, so that if the members allow, then this particular clause, then the clause should be amended as they've suggested that they've reworked on this particular clause.
Chair Mantuli, Chair.
No, I will take hands. I just wanted maybe to write the last sentence that the Honorable Ntuli, I know that your hands is up, but I wanted Mr. Mwepe to finish writing now that they, as the department and also the parliamentary legal unit will also rephrase this clause. And I will then give you to speak, Honorable Ntuli.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was also going to echo your words to say if the legal experts have met regarding the rephrasing of the clause, believing that up to now the bill, we are still on the progress of the bill. Now, if they rephrase, I don't see any problem. I think as the portfolio committee, we should allow them. We are allowing them to rephrase according to the legal experts. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Ntuli. We then, Mr. Mwepe, allow the department and also the legal service on rephrasing this clause, but we'll move to the next clause and hoping that, Mercy, there is a next meeting where we'll also deliberate and re-verify the work of the department and also of the legal services in terms of rephrasing this clause.
Okay, Chair. With regard to clause 7, a definition of employee in disclosure framework, there were no amendments suggested with regard to this particular clause, Honorable Chair. That's clause 7.
Chair Mantuli?
Honorable members, that's clause 7. Honorable Ntuli?
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of clause 7.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ntuli. There's no amendments on the clause 7, and we agreed to. We move to clause 8, Mr. Mwepe.
Yes, Chair. Yeah. with regard to clause 8, clause 8 talks to the National School of Government concerning the compulsory training, and there was also no amendment with regard, but the National School of Government just emphasized that compulsory training, if members still recall, the NEHAU say they are rejecting whatever compulsory training as a prerequisite for appointment, but then the school has just indicated that compulsory training may not always be applicable. And this can be seen by the word "may." It was just clarifying what the clause says, and the purpose of this section is just to professionalize the public service in line with the constitution. So there will be no amendment with regard to clause 8, honorable chair and honorable members.
No, thank you, honorable Mr. Ngwepe. Ms. Makabeni. S. Makabeni. Masi, can you help me with S. Makabeni?
Yes, Chair, he's a state law advisor. I think his mic is mute.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to point out, Chair, that in respect of this clause as well, Chair, there was a I think the department met with the National School of Government, and they proposed some way of reformulating it, Chair. So in line with what Tilana said with regard to clause 6, Chair, we will bring back an A list that shows an amendment to that clause, Chair, to capture the agreement between the department and the National School of Government.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Makabeni. Like the clause 6, honorable members, also the clause 8, they had some discussions between the department and also the legal services, and also with NSG, and of which there will be some rephrasing of this. Let's give them that opportunity to go back, and when they are concluded with their rephrasing, Honorable Ntuli, I so wish that all honorable members, Maneli, you are in the platform, you are part of the public hearings, and Honorable Notnakhal is also here. And Honorable Komani, if you also can speak, honorable members, thank you. Honorable
Thank you, Chair. I think, thank you, Chairperson, and the meeting. As the portfolio committee will allow them to go back and rephrase it. Hence, as the portfolio committee, we had no problem with the relaxation of the word may, but we are not legal gurus and legal experts. We are going to give it to themselves to do it the correct way. Thank you, Chairperson. Permission granted.
Thank you, Honorable Ntuli. Clause 9.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. With regard to clause 9, the National School of Government as department, we have received responses from the National School of Government, and they've made some changes with regard to the process. Page 7 of the amended bill. And then they propose the following, that C must, and then in brackets, may, at the request, I think it's section 11.2C, and then In the original bill, the may, they used the may, meaning in brackets, that was what was contained in the original bill, which is they may, but now they've amended it to must, at the request of any public entity, provide education and training programs or courses or course education and training programs or courses to be provided to that public entity. So they've just changed the word may to must. And then with regards to section 11.2E, they also made changes there where they've highlighted that may conduct examination. Before it used to read like may conduct test. So they've just added examination or test. If members remember the in the definition, this has been explained thoroughly. And on the or course examination or test to be conducted in respect of education and training programs or courses. And then they've added F as well, which says may recognize attendance, proficiency, and non-formal education through skills development programs. And they've also then added must, of which the may has been replaced from the original bill that is before the committee, must subject to the National Qualification Framework Act 2008, Act Number 67 of 2008, applicable education laws, in brackets, issue award certificate of qualification or part qualification in brackets or certificates on the successful completion of education and training programs or courses or course qualifications or part qualifications in brackets or certificate to be awarded issued. Yeah, so that's the only that the National School of Government thought based on the public submissions that this needs to be rephrased and even added. Yes, changed completely from the original.
Che?
yes, Mr. Delana and Mr. Makabeni.
Yes, I think Mr. Makabeni has the same point as me. Just to relay that we had met with the DPSA, and the DPSA had indicated that they met with the NSG to redraft this clause to get a more succinct and clearer version of the clause. So just to allow us to...
Mr. Lan, we have missed you.
Sorry, Chair, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry. So I think that Mr. Makabeni has the same point that I have, that we have met with the DPSA and that the DPSA had indicated that they met with the NSG and that they will provide a more a better draft of that, and that we just request the committee to grant us permission to present a different version of the clause, bearing in mind the NSG's concerns.
Thank you, Ms. Delan. Honorable members, we have heard from Ms. Delan, same approach in clause 9. They've met, but they will still further rephrase this clause, including the NSG, and of which I will request that we then move from this one to the next clause. But I can see the hand of Honorable Ntuli.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. I was going to say we are more or less noticing the similarities, so we are allowing them to go and rephrase. Thank you, Chair. As you have alluded to, I raised my hand before you could give the go ahead. I'm so sorry for that.
No, that's fine, Comrade Honorable Dooley. we can proceed, Mr. Mwebe, to close 10. Thank you very much, Honorable Mduli.
Okay, with regards to clause 10, I will just say clause 10 and clause 11, Chair, if you may allow me. Check. There were no amendments with regards to those two clauses that were suggested, clause 10 and 11.
Thank you, Honorable Members. In terms of clause 10, the repeal of section 12 and also the clause 11, the military training, there's no amendments. Honorable Duli.
Thank you, Chair. Since there are no amendments, we are agreeing to it. Chair, we move for adoption.
Thank you. Clause 10 and 11 is agreed to. Clause 12.
Yeah, clause 12, Honorable Chair, that deals with the deletion of section 16.2 norms and standards. Yeah, there were issues here with regard to the norms and standard, how I think even the Western Cape they've commented on this particular clause. But the department, in their response, has indicated that these norms and standard can be done via regulations in terms of Section 18, and will be subjected to public comment in terms of Section 18.4 of the public administration management act. Actually, it was the parliamentary legal services that have supported what the department has said. So there were no amendment with regard to this particular clause, Chairperson. Yeah, that's clause 12.
No, thanks, Mr. Mwepe. Honorable members, no amendments at clause 12, but I will take hands. Honorable Nduli.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of clause 12.
Clause 12 agreed to. We are moving to clause 13.
Clause 13, Chair, in section 17.7, there were no amendment, including the submissions. We can see our columns are empty, Chair.
Honorable members, there's no amendments in clause 13, and I will take hands if they comment to honorable members. But I think we must agree that clause 13, there's no amendments. Honorable Nduli.
I move for the adoption of clause 13, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Nduli. We agreed to clause 13, clause 14.
Clause 13 deals with removing unjustifiable disparities. And if members still recall, this clause was a contested clause during the public hearings. However, both the department and the legal services, Parliament Legal Service, they've responded, and I believe that they've already met and then fine-tuned this particular clause, but they've made proposal based on our previous engagement. But what they've indicated is that the proposed new section 17A and B does not infringe on the right to collective bargaining. And the wording of both sections clearly indicates that the removal of unjustifiable disparities is subject to the Labor Relations Act and collective agreements. And furthermore, the Parliamentary Constitutional and Legal Services further state that it is understood that the 17A is there to ensure that these disparities are not unjustifiable by drafting norms and standards. And these disparities will be unpacked in the norms and standards. Hence, there is no need for a definition here. A municipality's right to govern is not boundless. Section 1513 of the Constitution provides that municipalities' right to govern on its own initiatives, the local government affairs of its communities, its community and its subject is subject to national and provincial legislation as provided for the Constitution. And then with regards to section 17B, they responded that the purpose of the section is to ensure coordination between the different spheres and organs of state, and it does not infringe on collective bargaining if labor does not agree to SALGA's mandate offer. The unions are free to go on strike or refer the dispute to arbitration in respect of essential services. The bill does not encroach on the jurisdiction of the Minister of COCTA. Yeah, those are the, and then, okay, then lastly, the other thing that they've indicated is that following discussion with organized labor, it was suggested that the steps for the removal of unfair disparities should not reduce remunerations and conditions of services of an employee except in terms of an act of parliament or a collective agreement. So they've made a proposal, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, in their responses, that in the event that the Portfolio Committee disagree with the current provision in the bill, the alternative proposal to Section 17AB is to limit the provision to employees who falls outside the scope of the relevant bargaining council and be redrafted as follows. 17A, in order to remove unjustifiable disparities in relation to the remuneration and conditions of service for employees who do not fall within the scope of the relevant bargaining council, the minister may, subject to applicable labor legislation, any collective agreement and legislation governing the employment of employees in the public administration, and after consultation with the relevant minister responsible, prescribe a norms and standard to establish the upper limits of remuneration of service, and B, steps to remove unjustifiable disparities in remunerations and conditions of services, provided that these steps may not reduce any employee remuneration. And they further indicated that with regard to Section 17B, that the Section 17B is redrafted to distinguish between the public service, local government, and public entities. And the Committee of Ministers is retained for the public service, and the employer is required to obtain a mandate from the Committee of Ministers before a collective agreement with financial implication is entered to. And then in respect of local government, and public entities, it is required that the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Public Service and Administration be consulted before collective agreements with financial implications are entered into. And in determining a mandate and before entering into any agreement or before determining conditions or services, employer must take into account affordability and any other factor prescribed by the minister in consultation with the Minister of Finance. Those are the proposed amendment, Honorable Chairperson and members. if the committee agreed to what the legal gurus have proposed before them. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Chairman, do you?
No, thank you very much, Mr. Mwepe. With clause 14, honorable members, you'll remember if you have noted all issues during presentations, one orally and at the public hearings. In terms of this clause, and especially in section 17A and B, there were a lot of issues from all the presenters, from all the those that came and present, whether from organization and individuals. And if you have also listened on that day, the presentation by the SALGA, which is the South Africa SLGAC, and also including how and obvious all other Atlantica organizations, they were very, very concerned about this section A and B. So I will take hands, honorable members, based on what has been presented here, raised that time. I can see the hand of Honorable Kibi, and I can see then Honorable Janan, and then Honorable Ntuli.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to everybody. Honorable Chair, I think we must amend and accept the suggestions or the inputs by the legal gurus that are bringing this to us. So I think we agree with that one, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Kibi, Honorable Notnachar.
Thank you, Chena. I'm covered with Honorable Kibi that we can accept this clause. Thank you very much.
Honorable Ntuli.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll join my colleagues in accepting the clause, but I wanted to check, Chair, from the state legal advisor, whether is it enough for them to phrase this clause, having had the contestation that it has during the public hearings, maybe without maybe consulting NEHAU or NEDLIC, so that maybe in future we don't face the rejection of the bill. Having not agreed to the amendments as we are seeing them. I was just checking, but as the committee, we are happy with the amendments, but it might not occur well with the organized union as we are seeing it. I'm just checking if there are any means that can be done in consulting with the organized labor. Thank
you. Thank you very much, honorable members. I can see the hand of Honorable Komane.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me echo this that our silence does not automatically mean we agree with the entirety, but we reserve our right. As well, Chair, I also want to check with the legal services on the amendments that they would be making, which would emanate, like the latter speaker has said, from the likes of Nehau, who had issues. So what would then inform, or what would then be the legitimacy, not in, in lack of a better word, of the amendments without having engaged with the with the participants, because the purpose of this and the engagements was to find various was to find out how are the public, how is the public engaging on this matter. So Mina, I also want to check, how will it then resonate with the said people who raise their objections to the said clauses? And then how will then be how will the legal people do the amendments? Or is it that we are maybe jumping the gun? There would be a process with them so that maybe there's a need for proper engagement. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Is the team, the legal team, still in the meeting?
Yes, Chair.
Can you, Ms. Stella, can you respond to some of the concerns and questions from honorable members, especially now that we all know that these two sections, Section A and 17A and 17B, were, you know, part of our discussions in the public hearings, and really the organizations and some individuals were not comfortable about it, these two sections. If you can then give us, take us into confidence, so that also the organizations themselves are happy with the two sections. Over to you, Ms. Stella.
Thank you, Chairperson. So the first issue regarding, the first question regarding whether Kasatu and Nahau will be consulted with, or have they, when we do make the amendment, does this sort of address the concerns that they had? If you recall, honourable members, the major concern that Kasatu and Nahau had with 17B was the fact that the use of the term public administration, which included municipalities and public entities, and not the use of the term public service. So the suggestion made by the DPSA does address that concern, and also does address the concern that the intention for 17A is to provide norms and standards, or not to do anything else besides providing norms and standards. And the suggestion by the DPSA with regards to the amendment to 17B does address the concerns of Nahau and Kasatu. However, the second question that Honorable Kamani had with regard to what happens if we now amend the bill and change it, the rules do provide for, if the subject matter of the bill changes dramatically, then you would need permission from the House to change the subject matter of the bill dramatically. On the onset, I do not think that it changes the subject matter of the bill dramatically. I do not think that this warrants a further call for public participation, as it doesn't change the intention of what the bill sought to do from the get-go. However, we are open to providing Nahau and Kasatu with an opportunity to consider the redraft, but then we should be providing every other participant in the public participation process an opportunity to consider the redraft. I hope I am clear. But just to end off with the fact that because the bill isn't being changed in such a dramatic sense where there is a totally new draft that we would need to enter into another form of public participation, I don't think that it is necessary to consult with various sectors again to engage with them to see if they have buy-in, because that is not normally what happens with these with the process. If I'm making myself clear, I hope I am. I hope I haven't muddied the water too much.
Lord, Ms. Dillon, we have responded to concerns from honourable members, except there's a follow-up, honourable members, from what has been explained by Ms. Dillon. Okay, I think I have. Okay, let's move then, because we also agreed on these clauses, but we are saying to the department and also the legal services, at least they must be explained to the organization so that they don't raise, because I remember when they were presenting these sections, they also said to us they, if these clauses, this clause come as it is, they will take us to court. And we don't want that. I think they must be consulted further, and we must then clarify it to them so that at least now they are comfortable from their side, because they think that you want to take over from, especially the issue of municipalities. We are then, honourable members, moving to clause 15, Mr. Mwep.
Yeah, with regards to clause 15, Chairperson, is about the alignment of the Municipal System Act. There were no amendments suggested with regard to this particular clause, which is our last loss on the bill.
The last clause, clause 15, honourable members. Anything from yourselves on this clause? But there's no amendment.
Honourable Chair, it's Kibi here.
Yes, Honourable Kibi.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I think since there are no amendments, we accept and adopt it as it is, Honourable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Manduli?
Yes, Honourable Manduli, and then Maneli.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I second Honourable Tibi in the adoption of Clause 15. Thank you.
Honourable Maneli.
Thank you, Chair, and morning, honourable members. I think I'm covered, Chair. I was going to second it.
Thank you, honourable members. I think that was the last clause, honourable, Mr. Mwaka.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Honourable Koman.
Thank you very much once more, Chair. Chair, I wish to note on record that the EFF reserves its right. Thank you very much.
Your reservation from the EFF is noted, Honourable Rosina. Mr. Mwepe Mosi, it was the last clause.
Yeah, it was the last clause, Chair, but I also want to echo the same sentiment of our colleagues, of our colleague from Parliamentary Legal Service, that we have passed the stage of the public hearing, Chairperson. Now, any amendments are the amendments that the committee should agree to or not agree to. So Yeah, with regard to section 17, we cannot go back to the public consultation again. We must just move on so that we speed up the process. I believe the revised amendments, they respond to what the public, to what the stakeholders have raised during the public hearings, Honorable Chair. Especially with regard to section 17A and B. So what the Parliament Legal Services and the Department has responded was to cater for what the stakeholders have raised, and they've addressed them with regards to this new revision, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Mwepe. I think we're at the end of this exercise, but however, we will still come back because of clause 6, clause 8, clause 9. You must come back and because we want to see and have engagements on what will be the rephrase of these three clauses. Also, I understand that you have also yourself and Ms. Delana told us that the public hearings won't go back. But I think the honorable members on clause 14, we will wish that at least you engage, the department engage the stakeholders that were against the section 17A and B. And we'll wish that when you come back also, you can be able to explain to us how we have at least engaged them on the 17A and B. Because listening to the inputs of the honorable members, while they agree to this clause, but if they further said that the organizations must be taken into confidence in terms of this, so that as we then consolidate our report, because at some point there will be that time where we must take this report and present it, the bills in the house. So, and when we present it, it must be something that we know even outside our organization that participated to the public hearings, and also individuals are happy with this Atlantica sections. So, but however, we've agreed on all other clauses, but you still have to come the legal services on this clause 6, 8, and 9. And if Siyavu Melana, honorable members, I've also seen again the hand of the old hand of Honorable Rosina.
No, Chair, it's not the old hand.
Okay. Firstly, let me give you, and then Delana will come in.
Chair, thank you once more. Chairperson, you know, I want to raise alarm on this fact that we would then say for the one of the speakers, particularly Mr. Mwepe, said to save time. And so we cannot do things to save time. And even as you said, Chair, I'm very much concerned that when we do amendments, yes, like we cannot just say we have passed the stage of public participation, therefore, and continue as business as usual, and knowing that we may be faced with litigation in the process. Why can't we then, like you said, Chair, why can't we take everybody into confidence? Tina, we're not saying open the public participations once more, but there are issues that were raised during the public participations that when we move with these bills, when we go and discuss, present it and adopt it, we are adopting something that has we have put our minds on it and have said it. That is why we always go to the legal services to ask for their legal opinion. But be it as it may, Chair, we cannot just do things for the sake of ticking the boxes. We should make sure that if the bill is being presented, all the people that have been engaged, who participated in these bills and through their public participation, I as well taken into consider into confidence. But Chair, thank you very much once more.
Thank you, Honorable Komane. My understanding was that while they've raised an issue of passing the process of public hearings, but they are a room for the department and also the legal services to explain further to the organizations. But however, also, Honorable Rosina, you have also indicated that you are reserving yourself to this discussion, to this report. But I have given you to speak, because I should have not allowed you to speak, because you have already indicated that you reserve yourselves to this exercise. And I will then give... Delani's hand was up. Mr. Makabeni's hand is up. Ms. Naidu's hand is up. I will start with Ms. Delani, then Mr. Makabeni, then Ms. Naidu.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, before the legal experts, Chair, my sincere apology, Chair, with due respect, Chairperson.
Can you come in?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. But Chairperson, whilst you were wrapping up, your emphasis on clause 14. Was that everyone should be accommodated. And that doesn't mean that we call upon public hearings, but just to engage the parties that were contesting the very same clause. So that, and I liked, Chairperson, when you mentioned that so that we are not even taken to court, because other people's solutions are the courts. Maybe Mr. Ngwebe, legal team, we are not difficult as this portfolio committee on this clause. But we wanted things to be ironed out. As the portfolio committee, we understood, and we move for the adoption on what you've amended. And we further requested if the interested parties can be engaged, not calling for the public hearings, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson.
Yes, Ms. Delane.
Hi, Chair. Chairperson, just a question of clarity. So the next process would have been the OXLA, the state law advisor would have presented the A list to the committee, which basically are the changes to the bill. And that would be give the committee and anyone that's participating on this flat platform an opportunity to view the changes to the bill and then adopt the bill or adopt those changes. Is Chairperson now suggesting, or the committee is just suggesting, that we as legal services, as OXLA, and as the department forward clause 14, or the suggested change of clause 14, to those submitters who had a concern about the clause and ask them for their input? Is that what the proposal is? I'm seeking clarity, Chairperson.
Chair?
Who's saying chair?
Oh, it was Manduli, Chairperson.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I don't know whether the clarity seeking question was towards the portfolio committee, Chair. If it's towards us as the portfolio committee, yes, that's what the portfolio committee was suggesting on clause 14, understanding the amendments that have been made and having adopted it as the portfolio committee with that suggestion to say, let the parties that were contesting clause 14 see the new version and see if they are happy with it. I don't know as to where, I don't know whether we are prolonging the issues by so doing, but our fear was that we were moving together with these parties, but hence you were able, as the legal experts, to effect some changes. Maybe those changes that you've effected, they are going to be a fine with. That's what we are saying as the portfolio committee, to say they can be fine with, or else they can just put a dot, or they can just cross the T on the same changes that you've done. We are not calling upon new public hearings so far. That one is very clear.
Thank you, Honorable Kibi. Yo, Honorable Ndul. Ms. Delana, are you covered with the response of Honorable Ndul?
I am, Honourable Chair, but I do just want to remind the committee that after the public participation process, both the DPSA and legal services provided extensive responses to the public's concerns about those sections. That in mind has fed and led to these amendments. So I think the confusion is that, you know, unless there have been material or substantive changes to those sections or new concepts introduced to the bill, in terms of TUWIS versus Minister of Trade and Industry and South African Veterinarian Association versus Speaker of the National Assembly, only then is further public consultation proceeded with. But I do also appreciate the committee's intention behind trying to trying their best to, you know, appease, or not appease, but more consult with those members of the of society who had a problem with 17A and 17B. I do appreciate the intention behind what is being requested. It's just something that I haven't done in my experience, but I am open to it. And if the committee feels this passionately about it, I am guided by the committee, and I will proceed with whatever is instructed of me.
I'm not sure, Ms. Naidu, if you still want to speak, but I will then, upon what have been said by Honorable Nduli, request that this matter of these two sections and with the organizations be left with the department, based on their relationship with the organized labors. Can we do that, Honorable Members? Leave this matter with the department, because also the DG is also here and the team. But they will brief us in the next meeting how is their engagement and whatever on these two sections. But we agree with all the other clauses as the portfolio committee. But we still have to come back and discuss clause 6, 8, and 9. And also we note the reservations of the EFF of Honorable Komani.
Agreed, Chairperson. Your suggestion agreed.
No, thank you very much. Except Ms. Naidu and Ms. Naidu and Mr. Makaben, do you want to say something?
Because your good hands morning, Chair. No, I'm covered. Thank you very much.
No, that's fine. Now that we have concluded with the last clause, 15, I'm not sure, Mas, if there's something else. Or if there's a next item?
It's closer, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much to yourselves. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, the Parliamentary Legal Services. We have seen the NSG. Thank you very much. Also, the department led by the DG. And all of you colleagues, thank you very much. And now it's 11:15 and the meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you very much to all of you.
Almonwe.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.